Welcome to Planetary Makeover, a double feature, Clarity of Perception.
Clarity of perception comes, as I understand it, with stepping back from events in the world or events in your life and detaching from your own emotional reaction to those events or those people, even. And once you realize you are a soul in incarnation, that the soul is an observer in life and is a place of real peace, I think, then people can look at their lives, look at life in general, and be able to sit lightly in the saddle, as Benjamin Krem used to recommend. The clarity of perception then will come.
And that was a foretaste of this episode of the Planetary Makeover Show, featuring Betsy Whitfield. In response to the growing voices of an awakening humanity, we bring you evidence that divine help is at hand to work with us to create a hopeful future that works for everyone.
Hello, everyone. We're delighted you're joining us today for this intriguing episode. And our guest is Betsy Whitfield, who is a wife, mother, gardener, blogger, has a philosophy degree, and is a student of the Ageless Wisdom Teaching, an ancient body of knowledge that underlies our science, religion, philosophy, even part of our culture today. And she's so well acquainted with it that she lectures on it as well. In fact, she calls it the theme of her life. Thank you for agreeing to join us today, Betsy.
I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. Well, let me get right to it. What's convinced you that there is this great spiritual leader, this world teacher, as it were, who's named Maitreya, that is out in the world, someone whom earthlings, both religious and non-religious, have been expecting and who fulfills their expectations? And also along that theme, you can tell us a little bit about some of the miraculous happenings that have occurred to you that are directly connected to this emergence. And in particular, I was astounded by your story of the book falling on you at the bookstore, a book which contained a lot of knowledge that informed you about this subject. Go ahead and give us your take on that.
I was just kind of going along running carpools, as most mothers do with young children. And I had been studying Alice Bailey's materials. There was a book that DK gave through Alice Bailey called The Reappearance of the Christ. And when I was reading that book, I was at first astounded that there could be such a concept as the return of the Christ. I was raised as a Catholic, and of course, the return of Christ has always been part of the liturgy, but I never really considered it in a truly philosophical way. But nevertheless, I had read Alice Bailey's books, and I also spent time at the New Age bookstores in between carpool runs. I was very interested in the New Age that was blossoming at that time. This would have been in the early 80s. And as I was walking down the one of the aisles at the store, this red book just fell out of the shelf. And I looked at it, I thought, oh my gosh, its title is The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And it was by a man called Benjamin Krem. So I started reading it, and the immediacy of Krem's information that the Christ, the world teacher, whose personal name is Maitreya, has in fact returned to the everyday world and was interested in coming forward to help humanity through what in the book it was discussed, the New Age of Aquarius. And I thought to myself as I was reading, you know, this is really very interesting. I had read a lot of philosophy in college, and it seemed to me that mankind or the thinkers of the world were always looking for something higher, some direction, some way to go. And so I guess my natural inclination was to look at these sorts of ideas, but I never in my life thought that this could actually be the case. And I thought, I would love to follow up on this, but I am really skeptical. There's nothing in my environment here that would even pretend to support such an idea. But at the same time, I was so very interested that I read in the back of the book that Benjamin Krem was coming to America to have a talk, and that there was a group of people in Los Angeles, then called Terra Center, who were arranging his talks there. And I thought, well, I'm going to have a chance to go and listen to Mr. Krem and see if in researching I could find out if this is really true. Like I say, I was very intrigued, but a little bit skeptical, needless to say. So then I contacted a sister of mine who lived in LA at the time, and she agreed that she would drive up to Santa Monica with me, and we would see about this lecture by Benjamin Krem. And as I announced this plan to my husband, he stood up at the table and he said, "But what about the children?" I think he was so taken aback by the whole idea. I probably should have prepared him better. Nevertheless, he graciously agreed that it would be a good thing for me to go. So my sister and I went to a church called St. Monica's by the Sea. Sorry, not St. Monica's, St. Michael's by the Sea at Benjamin Krem's lecture. And I should return to what I really motivated me to go was a dream that I had earlier in that year. I was recording dreams, as many of us were back in the 70s and the 80s. And in that dream, a very tall man in a white robe came to me and said, "Would you do the heart to heart for your village?" And I don't remember what I said, but obviously I must have said, "Sure." And it was after that dream, which I wrote in my dream book, that I felt really physically compelled to research this idea that Mr. Krem was putting forth. So my sister and I arrived at the church and sat in the middle of the audience, which was huge. The church was packed. There was no music, nothing. And then Mr. Krem walked up to the dais at the front of the church and sat down in a chair and started looking eye to eye to every person in the audience. And so we sat there, and pretty soon his eyes came to my row, and he came down the row. And I don't remember what happened then, but the next thing I knew, I was weeping. I was crying. Tears were running down my cheeks, but my cheeks were hurting from laughing so hard, from smiling and laughing. It was a joyous occasion. And the light around Mr. Krem's head turned into the face of the man in my dreams. I was astounded. I was beside myself, but the light was so bright I had to move my head behind the woman in front of me in order to rest one eye. It seemed to go on for a very long time. And then I thought, this is enough. I'm getting embarrassed because it seemed to go on for so long. And as soon as I thought that, the face, which Mr. Krem had told us it was Maitreya, obviously, nodded. Maitreya nodded to me, and the experience ended. And Krem went down the row and continued through the whole audience. For me, that was my proof, if you will, that what I had been reading, what I had been wondering about, and the limb that I was willing to go out on was a good thing and was true. And so that started what was really the beginning of a whole life experience around this information that is, for me, the purpose of my life now.
That is truly amazing and inspiring, I'm sure, Betsy, to a lot of our listeners. And you mentioned Benjamin Krem, that artist, esotericist, and author of some 16 books, one of whom you describe. He's also the editor of Share International magazine, which since 1982 has published enlightening articles about spiritual forces, hopeful trends, and events that are transforming humanity and the world politically, socially, economically, environmentally, in a myriad of ways. And SI Magazine also has a section that's devoted to documenting encounters between the readers who write these letters to the editor and the masters of wisdom, whether that be Maitreya, the Master Jesus, or another master. And I was hoping you could tell us about a few of those, and that if you had written in yourself.
Yes, I've written in a few times. This letter to the editor section of Share International magazine is one of the great joys of opening the magazine every month, where readers write in and say, usually they've had an experience, they've met a person, could be a man, could be a woman, who has touched them in a way they cannot shake the experience. And usually has something to say to them that only maybe a close family member might know, or maybe no one knows about them, but speaks to an issue or a problem that the person has and makes them feel comforted. And so Benjamin Krem's master would then validate, yes, this was either Maitreya or the Master Jesus. And they work together as a couple, you might say. Sometimes they appear to a person together or separately. And the Master Jesus is a disciple of Maitreya. Maitreya is the world teacher, the head of our spiritual hierarchy, and so is the architect of the plan as it will be manifesting through humanity. But in these letters, people are validated that their experiences are of either the Master Jesus or Maitreya, as I say. I've had a couple of those myself. One of them was, I was caregiver to my mother for years. She had broken her foot, and I took her to the hospital, to a doctor's office, to have a cast put on her. And as we were leaving, I put her in the foyer of the building, which is at the top of a short hill, but a really an maybe a 45 degree angle hill, and went to get the car out of the garage. And as I swung around to pick her up, I saw a woman reaching for my mother's wheelchair, which was starting to barrel down a hill. I couldn't believe it. I stopped the car, and the woman brought my mother and her chair to the car. And I was amazed. This woman was very slight. She had on a crisp white shirt that hung over tailored black pants and ballet slippers. And she had on a beautiful turban. It was a beautiful color blue. And she had the most heavenly lips, which spoke to me because I had a fifth grade teacher whose lips I used to watch every day because they were so full and perfectly painted, and they always matched her fingernails. So here was this woman with these lips that was very slight and yet had managed to grab my mother's wheelchair, which was probably pulling 6 G's, down the hill and bring her back to safety. So I grabbed her hand and thanked her so, so much, put my mother in the car, and I had to make a circle around to leave this building. And as I looked back, the woman was hopping up and down, waving and blowing kisses at me. And I thought, well, okay. So I started blowing kisses back and drove off. And it occurred to me later, I kept thinking about who was this woman. And it dawned on me, could it be Maitreya? So I rode in, and sure enough, it was Maitreya who'd saved my mother from barreling down the hill in her purple cast in her wheelchair. It was a marvelous validation for me. So these letters are very valuable, not only to the people that write them in, but then to the people who read them. And people all over the world write these letters, not just in America, not just in England, but all over the world. And there was a woman here in my town in Dallas who was, or still is, the wife of a rabbi at one of the large temples here in Dallas, who was having some very severe surgery on his GI tract. And the woman was very concerned. She was sitting in the waiting room for the surgical unit, and a man walked in. She tells this story, it was in the paper. She tells this story that a man walked in. He was dressed head to toe in black leather, if you can imagine. He was elegant, slender, tall. He sat down beside her and comforted her and told her how to heal her husband. And her husband went home and did heal. She did heal him, and she opened a healing center, actually, a very informal one, just her local friends. But this was validated by Benjamin Krem's master to have been the master Jesus. So there are these wonderful, wonderful experiences. Now that Mr. Krem has passed, there are still letters that were coming in years ago that they just didn't have the space to print. So they are now publishing those letters with the master's validation.
That is miraculous, and in a practical way too.
Really?
We noticed that the masters aren't performing, you know, flashy miracles. Mm-hmm. One, they saved your mother, and two, they saved this woman's husband using her as a conduit. Just incredible. Well, thanks for that, Betsy. And I was thinking now, moving from the personal to the universal in world affairs, with so many crises confronting us on all sides, how can we maintain a sort of balance of our own? How do we look at these problems deeply and simultaneously in a hopeful way and hold on to the notion that meaningful transformation is in fact possible?
I think it's very good for people to, first of all, remain calm. And if they happen to be students of the esoteric wisdom, which, as you mentioned early on, was a category of thinking, is a category of material that places mankind in a very special position vis-a-vis the material world and the spiritual world. And contrary to what many unfortunately think, we are not our bodies, we're not our emotions, we are not even our ideas, but something even greater than that. We are where spirit and matter meet. One of the ways in which Maitreya teaches people in these meetings that he has with people is that it shows you there is much more to your life than you would even imagine. So people can think about themselves as souls in incarnation. And in the Bible, I think it's Luke 17:21, it says the kingdom of God is within you. And so it is true. That is your soul, that divinity within. So once you realize that you are more than your body, your emotions, your ideas, you can step back from events in your life and learn to become an observer of the events. If you can do meditation, that is the royal road to contacting your soul. And once you have that perspective, or even if it's just for a few seconds at a time, you can begin to see that there is not just only one way to live in terms of the physical world, that all people on the planet have this divinity within them. Everyone is a god. We are gods in kindergarten, really. And if you think about it that way, you can look at world events and you can see that we are all very, very young here. We build our towers, our building blocks, and someone always comes and tries to knock them down. And you can see that we're learning through trial and error, ultimately awakening to the fact that we are souls in incarnation. Then you have, for people who do some reading, the Buddha, who taught the middle way. He taught that the center of all suffering comes from your desires. And once you become an observer in your life and think of yourself as a soul in incarnation, your desires gradually fade away, and therefore your suffering reduces, and hopefully eventually at some time in the future, the suffering will stop. So when we look at this time in the history of the world, which is the time of tremendous transformation, which is terrifying for so many people who don't understand this change from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. We are in transition, and that transition is frightening for people because so many people feel that they will lose everything they have because they have no idea what the future can be, or that we have this help from the masters and their his disciples. And so it's very important, I think, for people to take this perspective into consideration and develop a way to be an observer in life, in all things, that people are the same essentially everywhere, and that we are on our way, on a path to mastery ourselves. We are learning every day. One thing that I find very useful, especially if people are having a very difficult time in their lives, is that each lifetime is not only a test, but a learning period, and that the tougher the lifetime is, the more growth occurs for the person. And sometimes that is a comfort to people who seem to not be able to get a break, they would say. Clarity of perception comes, as I understand it, with stepping back from events in the world or events in your life and detaching from your own emotional reaction to those events or those people even. And once you realize you are a soul in incarnation, that the soul is an observer in life and is a place of real peace, I think, then people can look at their lives, look at life in general, and be able to sit lightly in the saddle, as Benjamin Krem used to recommend. The clarity of perception then will come because you are not attached to one particular view or any other particular view. And yet you realize that this is an age in which the process of right human relationships will, when carried out effectively, which is the way Maitreya teaches us, when you can use that process, you realize that it is all going to work out.
And you have spoken of techniques, Betsy, for achieving this calm and more balanced worldview, so that we can impact the world positively and move out of this chaos. And what I'm hearing is about detachment and ourselves recognizing ourselves as being the soul. Well, as Benjamin Krem would say, Betsy, that's it.
Thank you.
In this second feature, we present four facts about Maitreya's emergence and a plan for global sharing with David Minot II, interviewed by Celito Pasquale.
We are talking about a fundamental restructuring of our economic, political, and social systems. The 1% controls half the wealth in this country, or, you know, more than half the wealth in the world. And that is not an expression of sharing. That's actually an expression of the spiritual sickness that humanity is suffering from today. Maitreya and the masters will illuminate the way to implementing the principle of sharing on a global scale without creating a new religion or creating a new organization.
And that is a foretaste of this episode of the Planetary Makeover Show. In response to the heartfelt voices of an awakening humanity, we have evidence that divine help is at hand to work with us to create a hopeful future.
Hello, everyone. It's your host, David Minot, who is playing a dual role today, both host and guest. 6 years ago, I was interviewed by podcaster and student of the Ageless Wisdom Teaching, Silito Pasquale, on the show that we worked on, entitled Share on the Air Radio. There are many things we discussed, and a few of them I'd like to talk about a little bit more in depth. One of those is the principle of overshadowing. We talk about in this show how Maitreya, the world teacher, overshadowed his student, his disciple, Jesus, 2,000 years ago. Now, many people today, Christians in particular, view Jesus as the Christ and haven't even heard of Maitreya. But in the Ageless Wisdom teaching, it's Maitreya who was in the role of the Christ, and Jesus was his student or disciple. From the hierarchy's perspective, the Christ is an office, it's a title, it's a position, not so much a name or a person. And when this occurs, when a master of wisdom overshadows a student or a disciple, this is done on the mental and spiritual planes, not on the astral plane, as occurs in what we often hear about today, which is called channeling. Since the information in most channeling originates from the astral plane, it is subject to distortion and misinformation. But in overshadowing, that problem is eliminated, and the information is true, simple, and to the point. Also mentioned in this show, connected to that very subject, is the move from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. We hold that Jesus inaugurated the age of Pisces over 2,000 years ago. Now, what does this mean, one age to the other? Well, in the age of Pisces, humanity learned about and developed individuality, devotion, and idealism. And now, 2,000 years later, having fully integrated those concepts, we're coming into the age of Aquarius. Those lessons that humanity is learning are changing to things like synthesis, brotherhood, trust, sharing, and love. And you can see that influence today all around the world, with the energies of Pisces going out and the energies of Aquarius coming in. There are a record number of protests and all manner of progressive movements throughout the world. This includes the rising role of the youth. Look at all the young people involved in all of these demonstrations and new movements. And the light of Aquarius, so to speak, illuminating all the corruption and the competition, exposing it all for the world to see for what it really is. And not only that, but it's shining the light into our own psyche, into our own minds, and illuminating all the dark corners of things that we have been in denial about or have hidden from ourselves or have not healed. Now it's the time for openness, truth, justice, and healing. And in alignment with that is the central principle of sharing. Now, this we went into in the broadcast, but I'd like to mention a little bit more about it. It's one of the central thrusts of the Masters of Wisdom's and of Maitreya's teachings today, He says sharing is divine. And when you share, you recognize God in your brethren. Now people are wondering, how could this possibly be in the world such as it is today, in such chaos and upheaval and so much suffering and greed and competition, as we mentioned? Well, Maitreya has full faith in humanity. He has said before, "My heart tells me your answer and is glad," meaning his own intuition has told him that humanity will respond properly. And that must be some relief to him. And so, what form would the sharing take? Well, one thing that has been suggested is that it would be helped along, it would be augmented, it would be helped managed by a department within the United Nations. And everyone, if they chose to become involved, would do so voluntarily. All the countries of the world would take into account and would document everything they have in excess and then share that voluntarily with countries around the world who need those goods. And this would happen throughout the world.
Welcome to our listeners around the world, especially those of you listening in the future, ahead of today. We present thought-provoking views behind the news as it relates to an extraordinary event unfolding in the world this very minute as we speak. And we describe this event from different angles on every show. And today we will be sharing the top 10 mind-blowing facts about the emergence of Maitreya the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. We'll explain what that means. My name is Cielito Pasquale, podcasting from Seattle. I have been paying close attention to this story for nearly 29 years. And with me today, he is artist, activist, and student of the esoteric wisdom teachings, who joined us a couple weeks ago talking about transmission meditation, David Minot II.
Well, hello, Solito. It's great to be back with you here.
I'm glad to have you back. We had some great feedback from our audience who enjoyed hearing you a couple weeks ago. And just love connecting with you. And we have 10 mind-blowing facts about the emergence of Maitreya the Christ and the Masters. So today is it's a little advanced. We will give some background information, but we're going to dive right in. David, are you ready with counting down from mind-blowing fact number 10? What would that be?
Number 10 is the Christ isn't coming back. He never left.
He never left. Okay, tell us about that. Now, we've got a little splaining to do here, because we're using some interesting terms. Maitreya the Christ. Maitreya is a Buddhist term, and Christ is typically a term understood by Christians. So you start where you want to start, David.
Well, let's start, since you framed it properly for me, Solito, start with, you know, one of his most famous disciples, and that would be the person who we're celebrating today, Jesus, known popularly as Jesus the Christ. And he was overshadowed by Maitreya. And so Maitreya had a presence there in that after Jesus' death on the cross, as we know there was the resurrection, and Maitreya was involved in that. I don't know how much you want us to get us into the weeds on that, Solito.
Yeah, well, I know we just threw out some information that we talk about every week. I don't want to leave any newcomers confused here. Basically, the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, Maitreya the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, Jesus being one of those masters, has never left planet Earth. They have guided us behind the scenes. So suffice it to say, and we're going to kind of unfold more, peel back of more of the onion to share this story. Suffice it to say that humanity has never been alone, and great elder brothers of humanity have always guided us, typically from behind the scenes. So when we say the Christ isn't coming back, that the Christ never left, that's literally true. Where have they been,
David? Oh, you reminded me of something. First of all, I would say that Maitreya returned to his ancient retreat in the Himalayas at that time, but in the modern era, when people are asking, well, where has he been? Benjamin Krem, we know, Inspired Chair International, the artist and esotericist and author who wrote several books.
All of our information on today's show is sourced from any one of Benjamin Krem's 18 books.
That's correct. And in one of his lectures, he had said, when someone asked that question, Salito, that he had not been idle, that he'd been working behind the scenes, unknown to most of humanity, helping change the world subtly without interfering with our free will. And if you think of things like the end of apartheid in South Africa, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the dissolution of the Soviet Union without a shot being fired, those would be some examples of his influence.
Mm-hmm. Some very, very well-known historic events. And how can we prove that, David?
Well, people like Nelson Mandela were involved, and Mikhail Gorbachev, and they may have mentioned in an offhand, subtle sort of way that they did have some assistance. They may not have mentioned Maitreya by name, but oftentimes we find that that influence has been mentioned by Ben. Ben had claimed
Benjamin
it.
Krem.
Benjamin Krem, yes, thank you.
Mr. Krem.
Mr. Krem had told us this in several news releases over the years as these events unfolded.
So you're saying that world leaders have been influenced by Maitreya? Were they conscious of Maitreya? Do they know about Maitreya?
Yes, we contend, and of course Benjamin Krem contends that, and Share International does, that the world's leaders are aware of Maitreya and the Masters, but I don't think Maitreya wants them to mention them by name just yet because they don't want to be identified with any particular group because they're here for the people.
Hmm. Well, okay. So lots of interesting things. I like how you anchored that in what's happening in the world today. So this is really mind-blowing that, there's an anticipation of a great teacher returning. You know, all the great religions anticipate the return of a great teacher, not just the Christ. The Jews anticipate the Messiah. Buddhists are awaiting the Maitreya Buddha. Hindus await Krishna. Muslims anticipate the return of the Imam Mahdi. And in point of fact, this great figure in our understanding, of course, our audience is free to accept or reject what we're saying. We're not espousing the truth. We're opening the door for people to investigate. All these names of great teachers are one and the same, identifying one great, great avatar, and that would be Maitreya, which I like to call the eldest brother of humanity.
Yes, which would bring us to fact number nine.
Fact number nine, yes.
Humanity has called
Maitreya and the Masters into the
world.
Yes. You know,
tell us more about that.
This is mind-blowing. Humanity, we have called these great teachers into emergence into the world. It is our doing. They're not just coming out of nowhere saying, hey, guys, get it together. At every period of history, when the need was greatest, when humanity needed stimulus, a teacher of extraordinary wisdom has stepped forward to show us the way. And that time is now, that time is happening now. In the past, we've known these teachers by various names, Hercules, Hermes, Mithra, Rama, Vyasa, Krishna, Buddha, and of course the Christ. Throughout millennia, teachers have stepped forward to assist us. And so this is not an unusual event. This is a cyclic event. But what is unique is the scale on which these teachers are emerging and are here to inspire and influence us. So back to our extraordinary mind-blowing fact number 9, the fact that humanity has called Maitreya and the Masters into the world, specifically during World War I and World War II. The despair, the anguish that humanity felt collectively was heard by Maitreya and the Masters. And that itself prompted these great elder brothers to emerge much sooner than was planned. Of wisdom, typically on the show, David, I don't think we've ever actually said Maitreya the Christ. I think in every show prior to this, we say Maitreya the World Teacher. And when I first heard this information, I heard it as Maitreya the Christ. I asked you if you didn't mind me using that term. And you said, hey, why not? Which it's the truth. It really is what this event is. And I like to call it what it is. I know different colleagues of mine speaking around the world. Some of us say World Teacher. Some of us say the Christ. I grew up Catholic, so I'm comfortable with it.
Me too.
And yes. Did you grow up Catholic?
I did indeed.
Oh, you did? Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, for our listeners who grew up Catholic, I found an interesting tidbit of information in the Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. That's the title of the book. Benjamin Cram's first book, C-R-E-M-E. And you can find out about all those books by visiting share, S-H-A-R-E, -international.org. In fact, that website is just packed with fascinating information. We're just talking about a sliver of it today. So visit that website, share-international.org. If you get a hold of a few books, the Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom has some interesting details on the churches as anchors of energy in the world, actual potent planetary energy. But that's another story. So let's move on to fact number 8, top 10 mind-blowing facts. What's fact number 8, David?
Fact number 8, Salito, is humanity is ready to receive Maitreya and the Masters and their messenger of sharing, believe it or not.
Really?
Yep. And what we're saying, and which I know you already mentioned, is that the reason Maitreya is here today is because of the invocative cry of humanity for his help, knowingly or not. Mm. Those cries that go up didn't go up to him by name, but they went up to, you know, the Lord that we all serve. And
in the form of prayer, largely.
That's right. The form of prayer, yes, and invocation, I guess that's something we'll get into another time, another form of prayer. And it's their job to answer this sort of call. And so inwardly, mentally, and emotionally, humanity, believe it or not, has demonstrated a readiness for this. We've developed to the point where Maitreya can emerge without infringing on our free will, which is sacrosanct, and can help us birth a new world based on sharing and justice. And as he put it in one of his messages, Salito, many, many will see me soon and know me not. Many will see me soon and recognize me. They are my people. Be you one of them.
You said something that caught my ear. Well, here's the question. When I look around, especially when I see what's being broadcast by the media, it seems like we're the furthest from being ready for sharing. Why why is it humanity is actually ready despite appearances?
Despite all signs to the contrary, yes. It's because Maitreya Salido is looking at us not just on a dense physical level, but as light beings. He's looking into our hearts and our minds, and he can see the potentiality that sometimes even we ourselves cannot see.
Mm. And you know, because we're celebrating Easter today, and as esoteric students of the esoteric wisdom teachings, what we celebrate most is the resurrection. The crucifixion symbolizes the sacrifice that the great teacher Jesus made, but also the resurrection is the symbolism of rebirth. And so, just to pause here from the our commentary on modern day emergences of avatars, let's go back to what happened when the when Jesus was in the world, when the Christ was working through Jesus, as you said, overshadowing Jesus. In that time, the teaching of love, Jesus brought into the world the teaching of love. And that, even though the love principle is not manifesting on a large scale today, in the past 2,000 years, it has manifested through the spread of knowledge and an enlightenment, in the culminating of our today's modern scientific awareness. That's an expression of love and knowledge. The term goodwill, we're familiar with the term goodwill, that has flowered through many great organizations in the world. So there were many things that could not have come about without Jesus introducing them 2,000 years ago during his time, during the time that he was overshadowed by Maitreya.
And that, Salido, would be a great segue and introduction into fact number 7.
Thank you. Lovely segue, David. Mind-blowing fact number 7. There is a great plan for humanity that Maitreya and the Masters know and serve. You know, our very simplified notion of what, you know, an angel or a teacher or Jesus or God appearing is not the same as the reality. The reality is pretty extraordinary. And when we think of the return of, the second coming, we think of, hey, there's this person who's really wise. But the reality is today at this time, as we are moving into the age of Aquarius, with the emergence of the teacher for the age of Aquarius, it's not just one person. It's not just Maitreya. He brings with him the masters of wisdom, and they are all in service to humanity. That's why they're here. And there is actually a great plan of evolution that they are able to perceive, to understand, and they work with what are known as advanced initiates and disciples in the world. These could be the great thinkers in science, great thinkers in education, great thinkers in the arts, in politics, great financiers who are influenced by Maitreya and the Masters along the lines of the principle of sharing and goodwill. And as we evolve on the path of evolution, we come to a greater understanding of the great plan. At this level, all we need to know is let's implement the plan of sharing in the world and end all hunger and restore the environment and provide every man, woman, and child with shelter and health care and education. Those are the priorities of Maitreya. Those are, as much as we can fathom, of the great plan. Just the abolition of hunger from the world would transform this planet tremendously overnight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Salido.
Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production
of planetarymakeover.org. For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org for related books, DVDs, and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya. Please go to share-ecart.com.